We're live. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing, Brent?
Doing pretty good. You had an eventful drive or a slow drive coming in this morning,
just,
I hear, because in Canada, it's a little cold.
Slow. Yeah, I was a touch late leaving, and then the roads were kind of messy, wet, so I ended up behind the person who Mac absolutely does like barely the speed limit. It's that cautious and that was like a 15-minute chunk of my drive, so all of my timing seemed to just go off from there. So it is.
That's always the case, right? Yeah. Just when you need to get moving, you get stuck behind the I'm gonna barely go the speed limit person.
Yep, and a long stretch where there was no way to get around them, for instance. So it was like okay, I better have this, just be patient. So
yeah, dial up a podcast like Idiotic and just listen to last week's episode or something.
Yeah, and then I can feel self-conscious about my voice or whatever.
We don't ever feel self-conscious about our voices when we do these things, do we?
Hardly ever. I mean, the time goes by so quickly.
I know.
Who would even notice about anything about ourselves?
Yeah. I always feel my voice is a little bit too trebly, so I have to try to turn on my radio voice and feel a little bit more manly.
Mic proximity tricks and talking low and quiet. Suddenly, Suddenly we're in a Barry White record or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to talk about micro learning today. What the heck? What is micro learning? Do we have any definitions or anything like that?
Oh, well, micro means small and learning means learning.
Yeah, we're not talking about micro education. We're not talking about micro schooling. We're not talking about micro training. The buzzword seems to be micro learning. So I guess that and kind of figure out what people are really talking about when they're talking about micro learning. And I think, unfortunately, well, I guess I'm kind of indifferent to the whole thing, to be honest, but I think everybody kind of looks at it a little bit differently. There's certain companies that look at it as it's just small videos. There's other companies that look at it as it's just small content, any content. And then there are the researchers who have their take on it. And then there is the blogosphere and the learning professionals and the practitioners that all kind of have their own unique twist and flavor on it. These are the types of things that I don't normally like to take sides on, but I do like to discuss them and sort of unpackage them and just kind of see if we can figure it all out. Because I don't want to start any holy wars.
Yeah, well, there's so many angles to it. It's like it's like a, I don't know, a diamond or a prism. There's so many facets that we could be staring at and thinking about. It's not one thing. And I mean, part of when we were talking about today's topic, I've tossed a link into the chat for those who have joined us because Patty Shank had an article back in February anyway. That looked at micro learning and a lot of the research around it and pros and cons, best practices, those sorts of things, which I found was a really great article to distill, that distills a lot of thoughts around many of these different angles of things. And it prompted me to start thinking a little bit more seriously about what this thing is. So we've thrown that in there. I'm not going to show the article. I won't share my screen, cause I don't want to go through it, you know, sort of point by point, but there's lots of really neat things to think about in that article that largely have prompted some of the thoughts that were the things that we were going to talk about today or directions that we might go. So,
yeah, it's cool. I mean, what you mentioned early on, right? I mean, obviously it's got something to do with our learning content needing to be smaller. And I think it's more of a historical response to people don't like spending an hour, 2 hours sitting at their desk, staring at a boring e-learning course. And so people decided to give people some learning content that is shorter than that.
Yeah. And I think it's also affected by, you know, things like YouTube and the availability of information in relatively small chunks. That's, you know, kind of inspired by that. I have some personal experiences, let's say, with some notions of smallness. And I think that, well, if a topic needs to be big, it needs to be big. You know, if you can't, it just trying to hit some arbitrary smallness measure, 3 minutes, 5 minutes or whatever. Well, there are an awful lot of skills and even, you know, understanding that the knowledge kind of informational level, even where it's going to take more than a certain amount of smallness. So it does kind of seem kind of arbitrary in a sense to say we're doing micro learning. Well, what is that? Well, it's 3 to 5 minutes or what have you.
Yeah.
So there's that piece of it.
It's probably all pretty relative too, right? Because, you know, a 1 hour e-learning course might be considered macro unless what you've done is you've taken a 2 week long workshop and crammed it down into 1 hour successfully. Then you might call that one micro learning.
Yeah. And I mean, your use of the word successfully. So there's another measure of, have you taken something that was an hour or a half an hour as one, if it was an e-learning course, one scoring package, and have you simply broken it up into 5 or 6 smaller pieces, but it's still linked now as a curriculum in your LMS, in which case, I don't know, did anything change, you know, really? So, hey, we've got some folks with us this morning. Maybe just throw out an invite to them to just, hey, any thoughts that they've got on what is micro learning and, you know, are you doing anything like this in your own organization that you might throw in an example of something? That'd be kind of cool. So let's do that.
We've got a lot of people hanging out with us today, and I didn't even stop to say thank you to everybody, but thanks for hanging out with us. And if you've got any questions, drop them into the chat. And if you want to give us your definition of it, we can invite you into the video. And so if you see a little window pop up on your screen, that means that Chris has sent you an invite. And if you've got a camera set up,
Or if you're just shy and you only want to text in a note, just let us know if you've got some initial thoughts right now about micro learning, and or is your organization doing something that you would describe as micro learning? And if so, what's that look like? It'd be kind of cool to get a sense of what the crowd, because I've got lots of opinions. But
you and I could sit here all day with opinions about micro learning.
So we'll let that percolate, see if anybody tosses anything in. Maybe folks don't have enough coffee yet for themselves yet today, but nothing yet so far in the chat. Shy bunch today.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Maybe, they're all getting used to it. So
They're figuring out the fact that, oh, no.
They have to engage. What's that all about?
Yeah, no kidding. So the Patty Shank article points out a couple of things, and I think it kind of defines – it certainly focuses a bit on what's, you know, something that's a micro learning versus something that's just a performance support tool, with the idea that being that something that's supposed to be a learning aid or a learning lesson is supposed to, it's to teach you a skill which you will then possess and, you know, be able to do successfully. Whereas performance support is just looking for something that will help you solve a problem in a moment of need, but you may or may not actually learn that thing. It may just be simple enough that you follow the steps in the YouTube video that you found, or the quick article, you know, the item that you might have found in a knowledge base. And there are lots of things I think that we do that we don't need to learn, that as long as we know where to find the information the next time we need it, we can save our brainwaves for you know, other things like lyrics to all the 80s songs that we have on cassette still, you know.
Somebody asked me for obscure. For some reason I mentioned that I have an eclectic music taste, and somebody asked me if I could name an obscure classic rock band that they may not know about. And I literally sat there and drew a blank. I have a catalog of bands in my head that go way, way back, and I could not think of one to come out and say, and I don't know what the deal was, but Like I drew a complete blank and needed some performance support immediately.
Yeah, put me on the spot. Then again, you're driving in the radio, listening to the radio or something, and you end up knowing 90% of the lyrics to almost every song, and you're going, why is that still in my brain?
But, right? You know, well, this is totally. The interesting part about that is what if you can remember while the song is playing and you're singing along, you feel like you remember that you remember all the lyrics to the song. But as soon as the song's over, if you tried to sing the whole song from beginning to end, you couldn't do it.
Nope, you're lost, yeah. So Denise has tossed a note in to the chat. I would say micro-learning is more about the packaging of learning into smaller, more palatable chunks. So, let's unpack some of those chunks. You know, what's palatable? Who's determining what's palatable? Sometimes the rationale that I hear people talking about with micro-learning is, well, modern learners don't want to. They want it smaller, etc. I think there's always an argument to be made that maybe learners don't know what they really need. Is it the best, you know, we may not want to spend a lot of time learning on something, but if it's important, it's critical to what we need to do, then you have to put in the time. So that word palatable is interesting because whose palatableness is it? Is it the organization? Is it the learner's perception of what they want? That's kind of neat. Yeah. Potentially I think it tips back to that other example of making, you know, a series of smaller things, but they're still connected as a curriculum. So you still end up having to put in, you know, the same amount of time. So, yeah.
And is it just that it isn't when we're talking about micro learning, aren't we really just agreeing to good or better instructional design?
Well, I think for sure the idea of thinking smaller is really actually, it's a definite opportunity to make things better.
I think if you're looking at our audiences as a whole, and I'll just call, you know, where our current humanity is at, right? Culturally, technologically, if we were to look at any of our audiences and evaluate them like good instructional designers should do, it's just with mobile devices, with the way people are viewing other contents, right? We're mostly competing against other content that people could watch. It's an opportunity cost. And so we have to compete with their attention and gain their attention. And so it's just where we're at. And so good design today, is different than what good design was 40 years ago, based on where we're at culturally, technologically, and it's just smart of us to do good, clean instructional design that supports the fact that somebody has a mobile device and that they're connected wherever they go. And, you know, on all that stuff, it just naturally, I think, sometimes ends up being shorter content because that's just where we are as a society, as a culture. Technology now supports it, so we can do that. And so we should, you know, and at the end of the day, you were mentioning earlier, isn't it just that the content should be as long as it needs to be?
Yeah. So there's a couple more comments. I mean, Denise has followed up her comment, you know, instead of designing a course with a large number of learning objects, chunking them into smaller segments. Yes, I believe it's the same time overall, but offers learners more flexibility in terms of managing their learning. So, it's an ability to consume something in that model, more breakpoints. So you're not committing maybe to a half an hour. I will mention that the Patty Shank article does talk about and makes reference to if you have something that would normally be a half an hour, but you break it up into five smaller chunks, but those are now spaced out by time. Well, the learning process becomes different. You've got to bridge what you learned, you know, yesterday in that 5-minute piece with what you're learning today versus the continuity of that half hour contiguous experience and putting all that together. So, you know, the process of learning becomes different and has different wrinkles to it. So that's, another thing to think about there. Suresh mentioning the way we've deployed micro learning Microlearning modules are small pieces of focused, right-sized content to help learners accomplish a specific learning outcome. So, Linnell is mentioning microlearning is need-to-know information that is aligned to business results and performance results improvement. In other words, what an employee needs to know in order to do their job more efficiently, effectively. And Linnell brings up a couple of things.
Yeah, this is where we get confused in our industry with the difference between, because we've already got performance support, right? That's already a thing. It's been a thing like for decades. And so what's the difference between, you know, small performance support type content and this new thing we're calling micro learning, right? It sounds a lot like Linnell is, and I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, is walking that fine line between the two.
Well, and some of the content could be entirely for both purposes. It's a question, it becomes maybe more a question of when it's delivered. So if you're teaching people something new, yeah, and there are five topics that they need to know in order to begin doing a job, but you can often, if the content's written in and described, written, created, designed, planned in an effective way, it can totally become performance support used. You know, so in the one model, you're learning it because you're logged into the LMS and it's tracking that you completed this, et cetera. And then 2 months go by and you actually have to do that task for the first time. Well, that providing that same information can often just be the performance support. So the making of the content can serve, you know, both of those purposes. And in that kind of a model, you definitely want to make sure that the micro learning is focused maybe on tasks and small things, because then people are learning to, or are using it later to solve smaller specific problems that they bump into as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think this could also be a response to the everything in the kitchen sink syndrome, right? When we've built courses in the past and we work with subject matter experts, there's this problem or this need for the subject matter expert to tell the training professional that this has got to be in it, and this has got to be in it, and this has got to be in it, and this has got to be in it. And then this course becomes this big, bloated, huge, epic, 4 hour long, painful e-learning experience for somebody. Yep. And again, I sometimes believe that this micro learning trend is just a way for us to combat that, right? It's an easy out for us now. We can talk to those SMEs and say, no, what we're doing is we're creating micro learning. So we're going to, I think what you're talking about is great, but we're going to take each of these things that you want to put into this one big giant course, and we're going to pull it out as its own you know, individual chunk. Then they're happy, we're happy, you know, hopefully the end user's happy.
And I think the idea of thinking smaller is definitely an advantage in improving instructional design. I think about Kathy Moore's model where, you know, you start with the, you know, the core of it is what does the person need to do? And then backing up, how do we help them practice that? And then backing up one step level, what do they need to know? And that kind of a structure then means that what they need to know to do this specific task also is an opportunity to trim out all of the extra stuff that may not be required most directly. In other words, making the content leaner, et cetera. So, you know, that it there's definitely, I think, an opportunity in thinking about smaller things to trim down the sheer quantity of things that may not be required for people, you know, good to know, but not necessarily, you know, required. So bring it focused. And so it's definitely, I think, an opportunity to use it as a tool to improve, tighten up, make more concise our content, et cetera. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I love all the feedback from everybody too in the chat. Your comments are fantastic. And it's exactly why these conversations need to happen. And if any of you do have a webcam set up and you're not afraid to turn that thing on and you want to jump in and engage in this conversation with us, we still have about 10 or 15 minutes left to chat through this topic. If you want, just drop into the chat that just say, yes, I'll jump in. And Chris will send you an invite. I know it's hard. A lot of people are like, oh, no, I'm not, like, I just rolled out of bed to listen to you guys. I didn't think you'd have to see me, kind of thing. So I totally get that. But in the future, just know that we would love for you to engage. And so if you come, if you see that we're talking about a topic that you're really interested in and you have some points you'd like to make, come prepared to jump on the video with us and hang out.
And as we've been reading many of the comments, and I want to make sure that folks understand, I'm not trying to pick on anyone, but every sort of angle of this has an equal and opposite angle almost. And it's one of the things that makes this such a fascinating topic is that there are facets and angles to this that.
Yeah. Let's be very clear about that up front. If anybody is feeling like we're not agreeing with your particular point, we're just trying to bring all of the different angles to light, because I'll be the first to say that I can see all of the angles. I've heard all of the angles. I've read everybody expressing their particular direction and angle for the micro learning. And it's fascinating to me how we create these words in our industry, and then we struggle to kind of figure out what they are. And I think all of the things that everybody thinks they are right, because they're useful to you. You wouldn't have thought of that as your definition for it if you didn't feel like that was useful in your particular context, right? In your job, whatever you're currently doing, microlearning means something to you, and it's probably going to mean something different than the person at another job at another company doing a different type of training role. So it's all up in the air, and there's no good or bad. There's no right or wrong. It's just what fits for you.
Yeah. I think one of the things that worries me the most about the idea of microlearning, because I totally see advantages in it, et cetera, but I worry about the justifications for it as an approach. Like, people's attention spans are shorter. And then you see a stat, something like the average YouTube video is only 3 minutes long or what have you. But there's so many factors YouTube's not you can learn from it, but if you're just going and you're watching videos and Google is just gathering statistics for how much time people spend with their attention span, and on average, people are bailing out at 3 minutes. That's not a reflection of maybe the people. It's a reflection of the content. Like, oh yeah, I got this. Or, oh, you know what? I didn't really want to watch that whole episode of something or other, you know? My own experience with that, about a year ago, I was starting to look at recording tools. So like variations on GarageBand. And I ended up on one of the sites for one of the vendors that makes this kind of a software piece. And they had a whole set of tutorials, and each of them was like almost 20 minutes long. And I think they had 7 or 8. I ended up watching all of them over the course of 2 days, just because I kept wanting to, okay, well, what are they going to do with this stuff? And I ended up not buying the software tools. Sorry, guys. But that was largely a budgetary concern. But they were talking about stuff that, you know, is fairly common across all of the tools. And it was just such a great resource as I was trying to think about how to use GarageBand, you know, better. So, you know, I'm resistant to the notion that people will only spend 3 minutes because that's all the attention span that we have, for example. So that's one of the things
or,
that I think.
Or 8 seconds or whatever it is that they came up with about, and they compare us to goldfish. That's always my favorite one, you know.
Yeah.
It makes for a cute presentation slide, but come on, people.
Yeah. If someone has to learn something and you know that it's part of your job to do this, you're not going to stop at 3 minutes, right? I mean, I can't pay attention for any longer than that. That's learning's over, guys. Learning's over. No. My job depends on it. Oh, sure. I'm going to spend time to get better because I want to, you know, have a job. I want to do this job successfully. I want to advance or whatever. Right. So. Yeah.
We've got a question in the ask a question section, and Lionel is asking about micro learning for highly regulated businesses. And I would say, again, especially in those regulated businesses, it's what Chris mentioned earlier. I think first and foremost, your training should be as long as it needs to be to meet your objective. So you've got an objective in highly regulated industries. You are the instructional designer. It's up to you to define what the appropriate length is to get somebody to be compliant in that, in meeting that objective.
And in that regulated environment, you've probably got a body that's also going to have to agree that what you've created is sufficient, you know, for risk mitigation, for ensuring quality, for ensuring, you know, regulatory requirements have been met. It's that time conversation takes me to, you know, some of the industries that have regulatory bodies for keeping your certifications, et cetera, where the notion of your annual ongoing learning in order to keep your certification is still based around classroom time. You've been to 3 hours worth of classroom sessions, or you have to do, you know, 6 hours worth of training every year, which is not a, I mean, it's a fine number if all the offerings are, you know, in class and they have that kind of time limit. But if it's been turned into e-learning, and you're going to force people to spend 3 hours in something that you might have been able to condense. So anyway, that's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah. Maybe. So I'm looking through, I'm trying to find this, and maybe it's on my blog, maybe I'll look for it. But when microlearning first became a thing, at least when I first started hearing about it, there was a great application that doesn't exist anymore, a mobile app called Vine. Do you remember Vine?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Vine, yeah, the little Vine video. Was six-second videos. And I remember thinking to myself, this is fantastic. I love this. People were being so creative. And I was learning stuff in 6 seconds. And I thought, this is amazing, right? And it's, to me, from a design perspective, it's all about creative constraints, right? We're really good, at least if you enjoy design challenges, right? I think we are really good at working within those constraints. And so, I mean, obviously, you're not going to be able to teach sexual harassment in 6 seconds, but I don't know. I mean, maybe if you were super creative, you could come up with something that maybe showed something interesting that at least made people think and moved them on to the next step in 6 seconds. But just to have to go through that exercise in your brain and think to yourself, would it be possible to train something in 6 seconds or teach somebody something new? And I remember my favorite example that I used in some presentations when I was first talking about this kind of stuff or including it in my presentations was Oreo. Oreo had this fantastic Oreo treat that they showed you how to make in a 6 second Vine. And the wonderful, it was so simple and so easy. But you could learn it. And in my thinking, it was like, I've learned something. That watching that was kind of the trigger that made me think, it's not the length of time, it's what you do with it. Right. It's those creative constraints. Sure. and how you can utilize the medium that you're in and be the most effective at it. And they nailed it.
Mm-hmm. So one small thing that I think about when you talk about that example of how to make something, that 6 second video, did you watch it once and did you know it, or did you watch it like several times in order to capture and process all of the steps because things were so grand?
Great point. I watched it once and then I did watch it again to try to say, you know, cause you watch it one time to see if you really are going to like the treat. And then you watch it again to go, oh, I need to remember that. So I'm going to watch it again. And then, oh, wait, I didn't catch that one step that went by really fast.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it again. So you're right. It is the repetition and the ability to very quickly repeat a 6 second chunk more quickly than it is to repeat a 1 hour course. You know, click and rewind on that 1 hour course chews up a lot more of your day than just watching a 6 second Vine clip multiple times.
Now that said, would you go into surgery with a doctor who was trained using 6 second Vine clips?
I hate that, Chris. Don't drop that one on me. Whenever we have these conversations about a new technology or a new methodology, somebody always drops that on me. You wouldn't want your surgeon learning this way, would you? Well, I don't know. Maybe there's certain elements of his job where, you know, what if he needed some support?
I'm going to hope he's.
What if he had his hands like right on your heart? He's not going to do an hour-long e-learning, you know? He needs this quick 6-second clip on how to remember how to let go and put it back.
And even if it was in the formal training mode, hopefully he'd watch more than one 6-second Vine, as you know. Hey, we've got a curriculum in the LMS. Yeah. Only 6 seconds or less.
Doc, do you remember your login and password?
18 million of them. There's still 18 million of them, and it's still going to take you 11 years to become a surgeon, but we can do it in 6-second chunks.
That's right. All that information.
Because we have all got short attention spans.
Yeah. Well,
oh, wait, I'm becoming one of those grumpy old men railing from the balcony at the Muppet Show. Yeah.
Sorry.
Bunch of idiots.
Okay, I always forget.
Get off my lawn.
I always forget the names of those two guys, and it kills me. Do you remember the names?
Yeah. You know what? They're not separate things. They're two halves of the same person, right? So I don't remember them as separate identities. They're always together. It's almost like they're a two-headed creature or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Partha has pointed out, if people love something, they will spend hours on it, which was, you know, what I was mentioning was the, I don't know, 7 or 8 20-minute videos that I ended up watching over 2 days because I kept finding value in every one of them. That meant that I was probably going to find value in the next one. I'd get into it, and sure enough, there was reason to stick around.
Yeah.
Now, if we're talking about learning, I'm going to tell you, frankly, other than remembering the experience and the length of time, I didn't come away with any official lessons. I mean, there may be some things that have just accumulated into my general knowledge, say, about working in a tool like GarageBand, but I don't ask me to actually do something that might have been there because I didn't do any practice. I didn't end up using it. So I was just sort of gathering information.
If you're not repeating those processes, especially when it's a skill, right? Something that you need to actually do.
Yeah.
If you're not practicing it over and over and over again, you're not necessarily ramping up that curve from new person to experienced guru. And I've got a chart I should probably draw one of these days on the old whiteboard. But we're kind of out of time today. So we should.
But that last point about the, you know, it ties back to the Patty Shank article where she does mention that if it's going to be learning, you do need to provide not just information in a short burst, but you've also got to provide practice for it and application, you know, strategies to bridge so that it becomes part of our long-term memory and becomes a skill or something that we can be actually applying. So, and I think that's one of the many pieces that are really quite well thought out and well described in the article. We've got the link there. I think we should probably make a point of mentioning that if you're watching this, we'll put that link in the description. If you're watching us on the YouTube channel, it'll be in the description. So you can find that link there. We'll also add it to the description of the session here in Crowdcast beyond just having pasted it in, because we did have feedback from someone last week that they couldn't figure out how to get the URLs in last week's
And there were some good samples there. So if you guys want to go back, it's a great point. You can always check out all of the other sessions. Yep. I think this is what, show number 6 for us or 7?
No, we're on episode 10 really? Already. Can you believe that? I know. And I only know that because Sierra had put that, I think, in the description of today's session. I logged in and went, wow, 10.
Yeah, it does. Time flies. Does fly. Well, I think my last point would just be to kind of follow up with what Partha is saying here about if people love something. That quote hits me pretty strongly because I think at the end of the day, it really is all about motivating people to learn. They either have that intrinsic motivation or something we've done or shown them in the initial phases of that learning has made them think, oh, or got them excited, right? Or we started to tell a story and we move them forward. I think that's the real trick, is how can you create a piece of media or create an experience, right? A learning experience within an authoring tool or however you want to create it for somebody that does trigger that internal motivation for them to want to move on to that next chunk of content or that next piece of content, right? Like the way a good author will write and, you know, and there's a peak and a valley and it, but just before you're getting to the end of the chapter, there's a twist or something that forces you to turn that page. Ah, I need to go to bed, but I got to find out what happens, right? You know, there's always that. And I think if we can get better at creating experiences that help people want to move on to that next bit of knowledge and that next bit of learning, that's up to us, right? I think there's a real skill that we should be able to put into our content to make that happen and not put it all on the shoulders of the learners.
For sure. We've got a strong responsibility to make sure that people find value and whether that's reflecting on the job and real world so that they can understand the application. That's, you know, one of those motivational pieces. Or even then starting to think about broader, you know, storytelling, because that also helps people situate context around knowledge that maybe then reflects their real world too. Yeah. So for sure. Oh, lots of things that we could talk about, but the clock is running down on us.
It is running, and there's that music again.
All right. There's the earworm for everybody today. I know I hum this tune the rest of the day on Wednesdays.
It's really hard not to hum the tune because...
It's
just got a hook.
I think even it doesn't matter whether you're country or Western or death metal or what, this song is going to stick with you
all day. It's a great coffee drinking song. So again, Chris, thanks for hanging out with me today.
Yeah.
Great conversation, folks.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you and talk with you again next week, and keep an eye on the social media channels for what we're going to talk about next week. We'll figure that out.
Wait, we don't know that yet?
Yeah, I know. What do we know?
Let's talk.
Anyway. All right, let's figure
out. All we know is it'll be something super engaging and motivating, and you will be intrinsically motivated to want to hang out for the whole entire half hour.
That's right. It's micro learning.
This is micro live streaming, people.
There we go. It's not a 2-hour podcast. It's a half hour podcast that usually goes long. Anyway, let's wrap.
We're wrapping. See you later, everybody.